Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Star Psychics Blog Talk Radio. That's stars with a Z because we're special. I'm Stars Cast and I will be your host for tonight, taking your calls and setting up the reading queue for the second half of our program. This evening we will have another great topic, so please relax and enjoy. After our topic discussion, we will be ready to take your one question mini reading live on the air or in the chat room. For now, on with the show. Hi there, I'm Stars Cast, and I'm here with one of our resident astrologers, Stars JC, to discuss the topic of astrology and how readings can differ and all the modules that you can use with astrology. And welcome, Stars JC. How are you today?
I'm fine, Stars Cast. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. Getting started here. Now, you are what I call a traditional astrologer, whereas you deal with all the aspects and like the conjunctions and the inconjuncts and the transit and all of that. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a bit about how you see astrology and how you do it?
Well, I do use those bits and pieces from the science of astrology. I look at the planet. I look at how they touch each other or aspect each other. I look at which of the sections of the chart those planets are sitting in. I will start with a birth chart and look at a person's potential. And then if they ask a question, I will take the transiting planets that are out there at the moment and surround the birth chart and see how they touch the birth planet. From there on in, it kind of fuzz out and keep talking, because eventually, with all the science and everything else, you do have to go with the gut.
Absolutely, I agree. It's just like the way I use the natal chart. I kind of just use it as a tool, and I found out in the very beginning, I tried to learn everything. I mean, I do know, as you know, a lot about the houses and the sun signs and all of that, and I can kind of tell you when a planet is opposing what that means. But I started to look at the charts to learn that way, but it just didn't work out. I mean, then I started getting impressions, and pretty soon all I had to do was, you know, run a natal chart or cast a natal chart, look at the houses, and I could tell things that were going on. And then, of course, as you know, JC, I do solar and lunar returns, which is a yearly forecast or a monthly forecast. So then I could depict, you know, events and like for the next month tell you how's this job looking and all of that. So my impressions were just that, impressions that I would get. I kind of admire you that you know so much about astrology. I was self-taught. I had a little bit of help along the way, but you know so much more about it. Like, what is a transit? Can you tell us that?
I'm flattered. I don't know as much as I should, but thank you. A transit is where the planets are right this second out there in space. And what you do is, as I said earlier, you look at the birth chart and you see where, let's say, Saturn is moving. Okay, and it may be in, let's say, the third house of communications in this person's chart. And let's say they have Mercury sitting in that communications area. Saturn being a little on the heavy side, the teacher, the taskmaster, the structural engineer, let's say, is going to take that voice, which is Mercury, and make it more precise or slow it down or stop you from blabbering. Then Saturn will continue to move. It takes a certain amount of time to go around, I think 28 years to go around the sun. And each time it goes past a point, that's a transit.
I see. So it's very important. They're all very important, of course. See, that was something like that I really don't go into because I'm not knowledgeable in that area. And so, of course, I call Stars JC and ask her what's going on with my chart. She always tells me, you know, I have a Capricorn ascendant. Your sun is in Capricorn, so of course we know Capricorns very, very well, and in astrology, the ascendant is kind of how you are, how other people see you, I should say, not necessarily, well, yeah, it is how you are, but people see me as a workaholic, self-disciplined.
Yes.
I can work and work and work, and you do the same, Star JC, I know.
Yeah, I do.
You do. Trust me, you do.
I have a Pisces ascendant, so there are times when I'm doing work, and 15 different ideas come into my head, and I kind of slide off the chair, and I go into some of these other things, whereas you, with a Capricorn ascendant, your feet are firmly on the ground, And again, Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, so you have structure, you make foundations, you have a much stricter work ethic than I do.
I try, anyways, let's put it that way. I do find myself, when I'm doing things, I have to stop and say, now you've been at this for hours. Now I think you need to take a break from the computer and go do something for you or do something around the house or something like that. But I tend to work too much, too hard. But that's my nature. I can't change that.
Yeah, you
And my son is in Sagittarius. So, you know, I like to be footloose and fancy free sometimes. And I think a lot of times my Sagittarius kind of takes a back seat to my Capricorn ascendant. Is that true? True, Jackie?
I was just going to say that. You are not the true Sagittarius, because if you were totally Sagittarius, you would be outflitting. You would be, don't fence me in. I'm getting bored all the time. But you're not. You are truly in your Capricorn ascendant. You do live there.
And is that because of the degrees of my Capricorn?
No. Everybody that I know that has a Capricorn ascendant has a very sober and serious piece of themselves. And remember, the ascendant is not just a simple thing. It's all sorts of things. It's what you put on, both literally and figuratively, for the world to see. It is the front door to you. And if you paint that front door brown or red or yellow or green or purple, if you hang a flower wreath on it, okay, this is how the world, it's the first thing that the world sees. I mean, drive down the street and what do you see? Yeah, you see the block and you see different things, but when you look at a house, you look at the front door to see if it's inviting.
That's true.
That's what the rising sign is.
And that's certainly what I did with starpsychics.com. I mean, the creative part of that, the structure of it, the building of it, it took a year to develop it because I wanted it to be near perfect as I could get and be so user friendly. But now getting back to how you and I read and how astrologers approach the chart differently, I know you and I have some notes on some things, and I would like to cover those. You know, you talked about Carl Jung and Liz Green. Can we dabble into that a little bit?
Those two wonderful people are into the world of psychiatry, and Carl Jung was a very well-known and established astrologer and was able to use people's astrological chart to help his diagnosis of psychoses and problems and neuroses with his patients. Liz Green has published many, many, many books on the subject and does the same thing. I got into trouble in college because I was supposed to write a paper my freshman year about defense mechanisms, and I went to the library and used astrology to create a chart for the person, and my professor was very upset because I had not used real science. But I disagree there, and you can see from Carl Jung and Liz Green, who are themselves physicians, scientists, they have observed and learned about the human personality, and yet they were fantastic astrologers.
And astrology really is a science. I mean, it's been going on for, I believe, centuries. I mean, it's not like, you know, when you incorporate that into the psychic world, and if you could use both, which I know you use both. I mean, you have your intuitiveness that you use, because I've heard it before. Basically, it's a guide post. I mean, we can launch a lot of things with astrology. That's very true.
Well, there are different branches of astrology as well. Besides the psychological and psychiatric approach, there's also what they call mundane astrology, which is looking at events. You can time events. I knew a woman who unfortunately passed away and did not release her notes to anyone. She lived in California, and she could time earthquakes to within 3 hours of when they were going to happen.
Oh, my.
Yes. She was an absolute genius, but that was one of her main fields that she really worked on. She looked at the outer planets. She looked at what the moon was doing. Saturn, Pluto, Uranus, where they were, what aspects they were making to each other. And then one of the wonderful things that she told me, she shared one secret. She said, if you're really serious about learning the astrology of earthquakes, she says, check your newspaper for the lost pet. And when the number of pets increases, she says, you'll see it. It'll be, you know, two or three here, two or three there, and then suddenly it's 9, 10, 11, 15. She says, start looking at the planet. There's something
coming.
Oh,
wow. That's unique, isn't it?
The animals are sensitive to the gases that are released before an earthquake. They are sensitive to changes in the earth. Birds will do strange things because they're more attuned to the magnetic field in the earth, and an earthquake will disrupt that momentarily, and they'll be able to feel it. Another branch of astrology, there is medical astrology.
Of course.
Yes, but any medical astrologer will put out the disclaimer right up front. Do not use what I'm reading in your chart as a diagnosis. I am only telling you you have a predisposition to a particular thing, so please see your doctor. It's like I have Jupiter in my health sector. I have found out that Jupiter rules the liver, and I cannot take some of the NSAIDs. I can't take Motrin or Tylenol or any of those because it messes with my liver enzymes. And there it was
mm-hmm.
in the chart.
That's unique. So see, Jupiter is not only the benevolent planet, it can govern other areas like your body.
Yes.
There are so many facets to astrology, isn't there?
There are. There are. I mean, each planet, each house, each sign rules a part of the body. It rules a part of your world. Michael Mukasey put out a book. He called it it was a thesaurus of the houses. And there were key words for all 12 houses. But if you study anything about astrology, you'll know that the houses, the signs, and the planet all correspond to each other. The first house in the natural zodiac is ruled by Aries. Aries has Mars as its ruling planet. So if you read all the keywords for the first house, you're getting very close to Aries and Mars keywords, too. So, yeah,
the entire
world is ruled by astrology.
yeah, it's true. You know, and it parts of the body is Aries. Isn't that the head? Does that rule the head?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, do I remember something?
Now,
so you know all these little tidbits where I can, you know, when we talk other times, we always, you know, you'll say, oh, that's your Saturn acting up, or that's this or that. And it really is beneficial if one can get a reading from an astrologer like yourself, because you're going to find out an awful lot about yourself, not only what's coming up in your life or going on for that particular moment in time, but it's just going to tell you a lot about your personality, areas of concern that you might have. So I commend you with all of that knowledge that you have. Myself, now, if somebody came to me and wanted a reading, well, I would get their natal chart. I'd get their birth information, which, as you know, JC, is extremely important. We must have the date of birth, the time, as precise as we can get from your birth certificate or someplace in the city and state that you were born in. It's very important. I mean, all the degrees will change if it's off. But like for me, I'll run a natal chart and I'll look at it. And I also use my cards, my own deck of cards that I go designate for the houses. It's just a regular deck. You know, I can do 1 through 10, and I have my face cards, which are my court cards, if you want to compare it to a tarot deck. But timing is really easy to do with them. And the same thing with astrology. You can get pretty good timing out of that, don't you think, JC?
Yes, you can. That would be what they call horary astrology. The name is taken from the root word for hour, H-O-U-R. And you can time things. You can go into progressions and solar arcs and all those wonderful esoteric things that my astrologer friends do.
What do you think about all the abilities to create reports now? I know you and I both have those in our Stars Emporium, but what do you feel about those? I mean, of course, it's better to do one-on-one with a with an astrologer or somebody like myself or somebody who knows different things. But what about the reports? How accurate do you think they are?
I have seen some reports that I read and I said, this is trash. But they are few and far between, fortunately. The software houses have employed the services of some pretty decent famous astrologers to write the software. A lot of it has a tendency to be what they call cookbook. Let me define that for you very quickly. A cookbook astrology software report is one that says you have the sun in your 11th house. Okay, the sun in Capricorn, the sun in the 11th house, the sun here, blah, blah, blah. And that's all it says. It's just a listing, okay? The newer software is now synthesizing that. The sun is in the 11th house in Capricorn. However, it forms the following aspect, and they modify it in this way. If you want something down and dirty, if you want something quick, a report is marvelous. But as you've said, it's so much more informational and fascinating to sit down with a reader and have them look, because there are things that a reader will see in a chart that that report just completely misses.
Exactly.
Completely.
And you can ask questions of your reader that you've gone to. Well, why is this and why is that? Or if you get, but the reports are very nice. I mean, there's hundreds of them out there. You have many of them. I don't have as many, but I. It's right. You're right. It's just information generalized, and it can't be very specific about it. Now you have dabbled with. I always use the word dabble. I guess I shouldn't say that. You have incorporated tarot cards, right, in your astrology. Have you used those?
I have incorporated the correspondences with tarot, with numerology, with runes, and yes, it is dabbling, because my focus has been astrology, because I started on that, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago. I will say that I was 16 when I picked up my first astrology magazine and started doodling the glyphs to learn what they were. But my study of these different, I call them soft sciences, has been because I'm fascinated in the correspondence. The different tarot cards are related to the signs, they're related to the planet. There are numbers throughout the entire chart, and numerology just naturally steps right in and says, okay, here I am, here's this number, here's that number, here's the meanings, here's the synthesis. Each of the runes also has a correspondence in planets or signs or houses. So they all blend. Even feng shui and Chinese astrology and so on can be related to together.
Boy, all the resources that are out there, it's amazing, mm-hmm. isn't it? When we first got started, I know when I did, the whole thing was astrology. I mean, I worked for a psychic group, yes, but it really wasn't like it is today. I mean, you have access to so many things. We have some numerologists on staff that I would love to get on the air sometime. Theirs is a whole other area. I mean, you could talk on and on and on about everything, and probably maybe what we should do is go through maybe some of the houses or go through all the houses and kind of say what we think that they are, and you can give your version, and maybe I'll give what I think, although it's probably the same. You're just more in depth than I am. But what do you think about the first house?
Well, the first house, as I said, is the front door to your personality. It is the cloak that you wear. It's mm-hmm. how you present yourself, how you want people to think of you. It's not necessarily right. who you are, but what you want people to see.
And for me, the first house is like, if I were to look at it, I'd say, what is happening to you personally? So to me, it's like a personal house, which it is.
Right.
The second house is your ability to make money, beautiful things, objects that you love, possessions, and I don't know what your take is on that.
It's all of those, but it's also your ego and what you think of your possessions and how they form you. If the first house is your front door, your second house, in my mind, is your closet. It's where
right.
you store things, where you put things, where you keep. And that's not just, you know, material possessions. It's your emotions as well.
Right. Now, the third house, I would say, would be communication, short trips. Can be anything, like computers, anything like that, anything digital. That's that. The written word, the spoken word, the writing. That's what I regard the third. third house has. And for you, JC?
It's those, but it's also early education, grammar school. Again, you start to learn to write early on in grammar school. You learn how to write, how to communicate in school, and if your mode of how you speak as well. It will tend to show you with the sign that's on it and the planets that might be in it or aspecting it. To a certain extent, the tone of voice or whether you speak rapidly or slowly.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fourth house is parents, home, family, foundation. That's how I look at the fourth house. I don't know how you see the fourth house. I'm sure it's much more detailed. So what do you get on that?
To me, it's supposed to be the house of the mother, but it's the house of mothering.
Because I agree there.
In
yes.
my situation, okay, I had a very dominant mother and a much more passive and giving father. Gemini rules my fourth house. My dad's ascendant was Gemini. Sagittarius rules my 10th house, which would be the mother and, or, you know, the dominant parent. And my mom's ascendant was Sagittarius.
That's so how I look at those houses. I almost look as the 10th house being the mother and the 4th house being the father.
That's because you also had a very strong mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did,
so
as you know.
It's the nurturing parent is more the fourth house. In mundane astrology, it's the end of the matter. It's the finality. It also tends to speak to what your life is like in the closing years of your life. I know a lot of people shy away from that definition, but you can look at it that way and what the tendencies will be, and then you move your chart forward using a formula or a computer, which is easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you look at that fourth house, and it will tell you problems or, you know, the ease at the end of your life as well.
Right. Now, our fifth house, moving right along, is love, creativity, romance, children. I used to use the cusp of the fifth house to designate whether a person would have, like, two children. I mean, if Gemini was on the cusp, it would usually mean there would be twins in their life. And I was right on in many instances with that. Now, sometimes it would designate it couldn't do triples, so you couldn't do, there isn't a triplicate sign, but it really was pretty accurate for me.
Well, I have cancer on the fifth house. I should have had 10 children.
And you probably should have had a daughter.
That's a female sign.
Oh,
true.
Yeah, really. Right?
But
I should have had two. I have Gemini.
What I ended up doing was I had my children very early on. I got married early and I had my children 1-2.
Which applies. Yes. And see,
that house is also, it's romantic. But it's also taking chances. It's
the risk. Yes, gambling. Yes, gambling at things. Yes.
And you know what? Romance is a chance, too.
Sure
you
is.
Know, you go into a relationship totally blind. You don't know what they're like. So it's an adventure.
Now, the sixth house being, it would be jobs for me, service to others. Can also be known as the health house, correct?
Yes, the health house. Another thing that sixth house related is your workplace, your work surroundings, and your coworkers. As in your case, you have a tendency to be your own boss, you have to take a look at the people that influence your work. They don't necessarily have to be right there in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your webmaster, your people that help you with Facebook.
Like yourself.
Well, I try.
Yes, and she does very well, I might add.
We'll see. But seriously, it is the conditions that you work in, and you can see how it translates into your attitude, and of course, attitude is health. Now,
right.
The one thing that we neglected to mention, there is a heated discussion at times whether the fifth or the sixth house rules our pet. I am not even going to weigh in on that, because I think it's the sixth house, because Leo rules my sixth, and I adore cats. But, you know, that's my prejudice.
Exactly. So. Now, the seventh house is relationships, contractual agreements, marriage. It can be other people that you do business with. It's kind of a nice house. I have a lot in the seventh house. And of course, I'm surrounded by all kinds of people with the staff that I have. And I don't know. Is there anything else with the seventh house that we need to let our listeners know?
It's basically partnerships of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're just meeting somebody in line at the grocery store. In a way, that is contractual because you have contracted to speak to that person for, even if it's a short amount of time, it's still a contract.
Correct.
And a sort of agreement. But yeah.
Now, the eighth house, I regard that as money coming to you that you have not earned by going to a job situation. That would be like tax return money, inheritance. It's also the house of beginning and endings. That's how I look at it. And I'm sure there's a host of others, keywords that you could tell us about the eighth house.
Well, the eighth house is naturally ruled by Scorpio. And if you look at the keyword Scorpio, they have a tendency to seem rather dark. But when the ancients were making these keywords up, I take that back. That's wrong. They were attributing keywords because it was through decades and decades and decades of study that they saw what belonged to each house. it is procreation as well, and all the things that are connected to procreation. People getting together, creating a life, creating an existence with each
mm-hmm.
other. The other thing that the eighth house rules is in-laws.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's another part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as you said, inheritances, the money from other sources. To a certain extent, it's also things like lawsuit and some legal matters, but not completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because Libra, which is the next sign in the next house, rules that more. But it can be lawsuits as well.
Now, the ninth house, I regard that as the house of spirituality. And I always call it the house of divine order. It rules the church also. But to me, it's the place for higher learning. And I don't think we mentioned that. I think the third house is for lower education, like grades,
right.
Kindergarten to high school. And the ninth house would be, well, that would be the tenth house, but the ninth house would be higher education like college and beyond. But I like to call it the house of divine order.
It is. And as you say, it's higher education. It's also the third house being short journeys. The ninth house is longer journeys and higher
yep,
education.
Long distance, yes.
Higher education is a longer journey. It's also the house of foreigners and foreign intrigue. People who have a heavily accented ninth house are going to either be very fascinated by foreigners or foreign languages or be very adept at speaking more than one language.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I have a client that's she's an attorney, an immigration attorney, and she's always attracted to foreign men, but she's got so much sitting in her ninth house, it's uncanny.
There you go.
Yep. Now, the 10th house is, of course, your career, public recognition, anything, your boss.
Parent.
It can be your boss, right?
Mm-hmm. And again,
and,
the dominant parent who will boss you.
There you go. But I don't know, my son is sitting 2 degrees in the 10th house, and I was always told that sometime in my life, I would be known or well known for what I was doing. And it's kind of like fits because of my sights that I have and that I would be recognized. I'm not talking about fame out there like on the radio and television, all that kind of thing, but I would be important in my field and recognized for what I was doing. And I think that applies to you.
You are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I'm seeing it every day as more and more people come to the site and get to know you and get to realize that we are not just a site, we are a family.
Oh, yes.
And
absolutely.
That's important to the 10th house, too, because it's fame, it's recognition, it's vocation, but it's also the realization that it's where you have the power to create things that would enable you to have a family or a group of people that could become a family.
Right, and that's what I've designated STARS to be because it's unique in itself, bringing together people that feel like they are family to
mm-hmm.
each other, and it's really kind of neat. Now, the 11th house is kind of a house that can be important as far as your social acquaintances. It's friends, acquaintances. It can also be, I believe the fifth house is love. One of them is love given and the other one is love received, isn't it, Jackie? Which is which?
The fifth is received, the 11th is given.
Yes, and so, you know, if you have a lot of planets sitting in your 11th house, you might be a social butterfly. You know, it's and that's true. But it could be the house of wishes. Sometimes people will ask questions about, you know, I would really like to have this. Well, let's look into the 11th house. Now, I don't know how you see the 11th house.
Well, it's all of that, but it's also, in modern terms, networking. I have my Sun and my Mercury in the 11th house, and I am constantly keeping in contact with people, exchanging information. In my career, I had phone books, Rolodexes, rosters. If I needed to know what time a particular thing was going to happen in, let's say, Los Angeles, I had three different people that I could call up and find out. That was my method of networking. Uranus rules that house. It's the modern ruler of it. Where the third house is communications, the 11th house is how you do it, how you get out there. Again, like I say, networking.
Mm-hmm.
With my Sun and Mercury there, I am constantly on the computer, constantly on the phone.
I think I have Mercury sitting there, too, in Sagittarius.
Huh?
I think I have Mercury sitting in the 11th also.
Yes, you do.
So no wonder we do what we do so well. So, well, ta-da! Now the 12th house. That's everything you keep hidden from everybody else, your secrets. Oftentimes it can be when you're confined. Sometimes, you know, I would do a chart, and I remember that somebody would have Mercury there, and I'd say to them, you're either reading a lot of books, or you're going to be reading a lot of books, or you're studying an awful lot by yourself. And that would always apply to them.
It does. But it's also, 12th house Mercury is one that is guarded in their speech. I've got a son who has a 12th house Mercury, and he's a man of few words, parsimonious.
Mm-hmm.
He says it in, if he can say it in three words, he'll try to say it in two. The other thing that the 12th house rules is a spirituality. Because
yes.
Pisces rules it, and It's more of an etheric type of house. But, unfortunately, it also rules prisons, mental institutions, again, confinement.
Yep,
but,
hospitals.
Hospitals. But you can confine yourself in your 12th house, too. But fortunately, because our natal chart, even though it's a snapshot of the moment we took our first breath, just like we are not static and we grow and change, so does our chart. So we can have things in the 12th house that would normally stymie us and confine us, but there will be points in our life where we can break out of that and break away from it.
Right. Well, we've come to the end of our show here, Stars JC, and you and I could go on and on and on, and maybe the next time we'll talk about more about the planets sitting in the houses, and maybe talk about what's happening at this moment in time, like when we do the show. But I've enjoyed this thoroughly, and I hope everyone else has. And please do go to starspsychics.com. That's STARZ, like in zebra. But we're special. We're a very special, unique site, and I hope that you'll go and visit us. And I have probably, I think, JC, 100 on staff right now.
You do right now, and more coming in.
So enjoy the topic, and do come back and see us. Thank you again, JC.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Hi there, I'm Stars Cast, and I'm here. Okay, we're live on the air here. We've got a few callers already, but I want to let everybody know that's listening that the last couple of weeks we have had some issues with Blog Talk kind of messing up with me. So if I disappear, hold on, I'll be back, and I'm going to bring in my first staffer at Stars Media, Matthew, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about how he reads, and then I will connect him with his first caller. Okay,
hello.
Matthew, just give us a little rundown as to how you read.
Excuse me while I gag on the air. Pardon me. My name is Stars Medium Matthew, and I read by basically listening to the person, and when they communicate over the airways, I hear the inflections in their voice. I hear the words that they use, and for some reason, I pick up the transmission of their energy. And when that happens, I can do usually a medium reading or a psychic reading for them within seconds. Typically, I've been known to do speed readings when it comes to mediumship skills. So that's basically how I operate, and I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate you giving me the invitation to come on in. It's really exciting.
Oh, well, you're awesome, and I'm going to connect you with your first, the first client, or potential client, we hope, right? Her name is Francine. Let me get her on the air.
All right.
Francine, you're live with Star of Medium Matthew. Go ahead.
Hi, Matthew. I'm selling my house. I just increased the price to $268, and so I was wondering if you see me getting it for that.
Okay. Can you run that by me one more time? Did you just say you're selling your house?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you just raised the price, and you're hoping you're going to get that price?
Right. We changed the pricing on it because we did some renovations, yeah.
Ah, okay. The reason I bring that up is because I actually used to be a real estate agent when I was back in the United States. I'm actually in Germany now, so that's why I was curious when you said that.
Yeah, me too.
But as far as it's going right now, I do feel as if there was one person that was actually potentially looking at making an offer, but it was going to come in lower than the original asking price.
They did that today, and I denied it. It was even lower than the price before the renovation.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so there was an offer that came in today, but obviously you didn't like that, and then the price has gone up. I do see a second person potentially looking at it because you raised the price, but I think they're going to want to know a little bit more about it. Possibly, is this a commercial zoned area as well as a residential, or is it just residential?
It's a townhome, so in a nice area, though, where it's in you know.
Because I get the feeling that somebody may have wanted to, I get the feeling that there may have been a person in the legal profession that may be actually considering looking at it, or at least have consideration for it in the next week or so. But, again, I don't know if the offer will be exactly what you're asking for, but, again, that's negotiable. I do think it's going to continue to draw attention, but, unfortunately, real estate, when it comes to the summertime and springtime, it's the perfect time to list, but unfortunately it's also in a difficult market still, so hopefully you get some good pre-qualified buyers to come in and
make
an offer.
So do you see me actually selling it for the $268 eventually, I guess, is my question.
Not for the $268. I do not see that, but I do see it coming for a very close price to that one, but I do see it towards the end of the summer.
Okay.
Whether or not something's going to be happening with negotiations. They're going to draw through for a few different people. And then you'll finally close up.
So when you say end of summer, is that June? The end of June? Or
I'm thinking more towards the end of the warmer weather. That's what I'm referring to by the end of summer. I don't refer to it as the month. I refer to it when it starts to get cool again.
Because I'm in Colorado. We don't even really have a dang summer. We get a monsoon kind of whatever. So that confuses the heck out of me because I'm from Arizona originally.
Yeah.
But you think it's going to go well?
I do think it'll go out, but not as fast as you want it to. But I think that's what you're hoping for. But it will sell eventually because you have an appealing area.
Mm-hmm.
And location is critical.
I know it'll sell eventually, but I mean, like, for what I want.
Yeah, I don't see it selling for exactly what you're asking for, but lower by a little bit, but that's not psychic. That's normal. There's always going to be a bid to be as close. You'll want to be as close as possible, but you'll accept something a little bit less, maybe by $2,000 or $3,000. I don't know. That's going to be hard to tell.
Oh, okay.
The exact numbers I can't tell you.
Are you the only one reading? I know she said there was a panel. Is there someone else other than you, or is it just you?
For tonight on this particular show for Star Psychics, there might be another reader that you'd have to talk to. The main host of the show about that.
Oh, I don't. I thought maybe, you know, you guys kind of asked each other, what do you think, you know, kind of thing.
There are some shows that might do that, but right now this particular forum goes one-to-one.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right.
Matt, I appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome. I hope you have a very, very good luck with it, and I'll say a prayer for you.
Thank you. That'd be wonderful.
Francine, don't go away. I've got Star of Maya here. I'm going to let her go ahead and do a little reading, a little take on it as well. And thank you, Matthew, for doing such a great job. So hold on, medium Matthew.
Okay. Hi, Maya.
How are
Star of
you
Maya,
today?
you have your first client. It's Francine. Go ahead.
Hi, Maya.
Hello,
did you hear me?
How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm selling my home. I just raised the price. Did you hear me talk to Matthew? Or
I did not. I heard the last little bit about summer in Colorado, but I did. The way it works is I did not hear. He said something about you would need to ask the host.
Okay, because I just didn't know whether to repeat, you know, the dialogue, my question or not.
If you wouldn't mind, Francine, that would be wonderful.
Okay, yeah, I renovated my home. It's a townhome, and we raised the price to $268,000. And so I'm wanting to sell it. I want to know if we're going to sell it for that amount. Is basically, you know, and when, I mean, you know.
Okay, and Francine, tell me, when did you put it up for sale? When did you list it? Do you know the date?
You know, she just listed up for $268,000 yesterday, and it was interesting because we got a really low bid, even lower than the price was before it was renovated, that was today, so obviously I declined it. I mean, it was a real low bid.
Right, real low. Okay, this is what my guides are telling me. They're telling me that you're going to get a very good price for it. You're not going to get something that's ridiculous, but I'm not getting that you're going to get full price. I do feel that there's going to be negotiations. And what my guides are showing to me is that your highest path and potential would be to be able to sell this house in the next 3 months. And that's a possibility if you have some room and you're willing to come down a little bit in price. If you're set on price, I feel from what my guides are showing me, it's a possibility that you could get that offer, but the time frame is quite a bit longer. So I feel like you have some choices to make.
How much lower, like about, you know, how much lower do you think I would get it for? I mean, how close to it? I know you can't give an exact number, but like a range maybe?
I got 249 was the number that I got.
Oh, that was what it was on the market for.
Before you renovated it, you mean?
Yeah, right, before we raised the price and did the renovations.
Well, I might have just been picking up on that number, so let me ask again,
okay?
A lot of times I get numbers, and I probably just picked up the number. I don't know if, did you tell Matthew that number?
No, I didn't, no. And, you know, no one has picked that up, you know, that it was for that. So that's interesting that you did because it was an old number.
Good. And I think that my guides were just wanting to validate. So let me ask them if you want to sell it, because the feeling I get is I don't feel that you're, you know, we have to sell it today, but I feel like that your goal is to sell this and that you don't want to drag it out through 6 months to a year. You want to try to sell it within three months is what I get. And I do get that that's
right. And I am confident that we will. I mean, and I personally feel confident that we will get the 268. So I guess that's our, you know, very, I mean,
we also
put a stipulation that if we, you know, because we have a high, one of those real expensive refrigerators, and we threw in there in the listing that with full price, they can have that refrigerator because it's like a $2,000-$3,000 refrigerator.
Okay. So what I'm getting, of course, you have realtor fees. I feel like the $249, the renovations, the $268, I think you're going to come really close. I think we're talking about a couple thousand dollars, and I feel that the energy of that is just allowing people to feel like they're getting a little bit of a deal, and you'll have a solid deal. You know, when people come in with an offer, let's say they offered you $267 or $265, go ahead and take that, because that energy is so positive, and those those people that make that offer, and that's close enough. That's not really going to be a life or death situation for you to knock off $1,500, right?
Right. And so should I do it with the refrigerator negotiable or, you know, still leave it at a full price? Well, obviously it's going to be negotiable if they don't pay full price, right? So I guess that's kind of an oxymoron.
I would the refrigerator's negotiable. The best energy that you can have when you're selling a home, this is the advice that I give my clients, is always have a little bit of room because everyone likes to think that they're getting a good deal.
Good deal.
And
yeah.
So it's better to list higher but let your realtor know that, hey, we're willing to negotiate, because when people come in, they don't expect to pay the asking price.
Right.
It's like
if
you're going to buy something and it's listed for $300, you're not going to expect to pay that.
Right.
So keep that in mind, so that you may even want to consider even going up higher listing-wise, but letting your realtor know, look, this is our bottom dollar, and this is, you know, where we can negotiate, because we all love a sale. Even
right.
though we know it's marked up, We love a sale. We love to feel like we have a bargain. That positive energy, even with one person that makes an offer, even if it doesn't go through, it's still a universal positive energy. And I always advise clients that have a home for sale to use a lot of lavender throughout the home. You can use lavender scents. You can put fake plants. You're in Colorado. I spent some time in Colorado. I'm not sure where about in Colorado you are, but I did hear you say Colorado.
Right, uh-huh.
So I would recommend that you use lavender and that you also use your energy and manifest positively and just imagine, you know, the next, whether it's a family or a single person, just keep imagining this person is going to come here. This is going to be their home. This is going to be a great experience for them. Keep imagining the people, the unknown people that are buying. Keep seeing them coming and loving the home and being happy, and send out that vibration. And that really helps to sell a house, especially as we know in today's market, you know, housing is one of the most difficult things to predict.
And with so what price do you think it should be raised to? Should I do like 270? My realtor is already kind of, you know, she's a little, you know, doubtful, you know, and I don't like that. So I asked her just to be positive and trust, because she's such a, she's an attorney too. And so she tends to be intellectualized everything. And I told her, you need to put that aside and just be positive that, you know, there is going to be a way and someone coming through, you know.
Right. So what she, what your realtor is saying is she feels, and that's not a good thing, because energy, again, is picked up.
Right.
And if I'm speaking with someone and I'm like, well, this house is listed at 268, right away I'm giving a message. So
right.
I would advise, from what I'm getting from my guides, I would advise mm-hmm. that you bump it up to 270. And you tell your realtor, this is my theory and this is what I want to do, and be really firm. If your realtor is not going to be on board with you working positively, then you need to work with someone else within that company, someone that, you know, can say, okay, I accept this is what you want. You know, it's not up to them. It's up to a higher power how this house is going to be sold. And if you're manifesting positively, then that's what's going to happen. So if you bumped mm-hmm. it up to 270 and then you said, okay, I've got maybe $3,000 room to work with, and let the attorney know you hire, or you know, the real estate agent that's an attorney, you hired this person to do a job for you. So you're within your rights, as long as you're being polite, of course, and considerate.
Mm-hmm.
You're within your rights
right.
to let them know, this is how we want to work our sale. This is how we
and
want
you,
to do
her
it.
Name's Angela. Do you feel she's going to be on board with that, and even though, and just think I'm crazy and just go for it? That might be the best thing for her to do.
I don't get a great feeling about Angela. I actually think she's a really good real estate person, but mm-hmm. I feel that her market is more, you know,
commercial.
Getting everything. Yeah. And you know, I kind of feel like with her, it's, she's looking for the best deal, and so she's not always looking at, wow, this is a beautiful home, or this is a beautiful condo, or whatever. So she might not have been the best choice, but I feel when it comes to closing the deal, I think she's top notch.
And so, like, when I come, yeah, because I just changed it like the day before yesterday to 269, I told you. And she, you know, she was like, well, I'm just being, you know, whatever, realistic, you know. I'm always positive. I'm just being realistic. I said, okay, well, just be, I know you're always positive. Let's just, you know, keep it that way, you know, regardless of the change, you know. Because I could feel her, you know, that she was, you know, like, you know what I'm saying. She didn't think that it would, you know, I think she wants to sell it faster. And she, like you said, she's not thinking more into it. She just wants the deal. She wants it over. She wants to go. And,
right.
you know, it's kind of like, no. And so I mean, if I tell her 270 and I call her, well, I'll probably just text her and tell her put it up for 270. Will she just do that? And because part of my thinking is what if I text her and tell her 270, she'll just think it's better for her to think I'm just damn crazy and let go of it altogether than to think that it won't sell for 270 out of frustration. Does that make sense? Like
yes.
her kind of go like,
would...
whatever. You know,
right. That would be your choice. And I do feel that she's a great closer. And I do feel that she's motivated by commission and money. So she does have some good positive factors. And it's okay if she wants to think you're crazy. She does want to sell the house because I actually feel the more that I'm picking up her energy, that if she really thinks your way out there, she'll walk out and you'll find a good replacement. So as long as she's sticking with you, I think that you'll get her to do what's necessary in order for this to sell.
Mm-hmm. But energetically, would it be better for her to think just, okay, whatever, I'm just going to do what she wants. I don't care. She, you know, Francine can figure it out herself. She'll see in time or whatever, to have that attitude than to go ahead and think 260, you know, 8 or 69 is just too low and really focus on that. You know what I mean? Kind of release that tension, energetic tension of her thought and belief.
I think you're better off to approach her with a little bit of release. So my feeling would be to tell her that we are going to up the listing price because we want to invite offers where people are able to feel like, you know, where we have some room. So whatever you need to list it at so that an offer can come in, a counter offer can come in off the listing price, that's how I would approach it with her. I feel that approach with her will pull her into, you know, what you're wanting from her better than to say...
Because that's how I approached her the day before yesterday when we raised the price. And so I'm wondering to have that same conversation 2 days later, raising it again, how that's going to blow. You know, I just don't want her negativity to interfere with my manifestation.
And I don't think it will because you're the owner and you're the one. So she's not going to bring people there that it's out of their price range or she's not going to waste her time to get that. So
right.
I think the bottom line is it's not really in the big scheme of things. I don't think it's going to matter a whole lot how you approach her. What matters is what you're doing and that you're leading this game and that you're sticking to your guns and that this is what you want and you're determined that this is how it's going to be. And I think in the long run, she'll follow along with that. I don't think she's going to be detrimental to the sale, no.
So the 270, if I put 270, you're seeing me able to get the 268. Is that what you're saying? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I think you can get, or very close, within maybe $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's just the thought process, the way the human brain works.
Right.
You know, just put yourself in the position of a buyer, and when you see a house listed, you know, the same thing when you go on a car lot. None of us expect to pay that price. We always expect to pay a little bit less. So if you have to get 268 or 269 or whatever it is, if that's what you're determined to get and you want to sell it in a short amount of time, then the best approach is to list it higher and be willing to negotiate and be able to drop and you know, so the buyer feels like, wow, it was listed for this and we got it for this and it appraised for this, as opposed to it listed for this and these people wouldn't budge at all. That right there,
right.
No matter how much someone loves a house, can turn someone off of a house that they would buy. So that's kind
right.
of
and,
where...
And that's her argument is, will it appraise? Will it appraise for that if, you know, we go for that?
Well, I think that's, there's some variables there. I do think it could appraise for that. Yes, I do.
Okay, because that's what she comes up with.
Have you gone to an appraisal yourself?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Have you done an appraisal yourself or you?
No, we haven't done an appraisal ourselves yet, but that's the one thing she, you know, throws. Because there's right behind us, there's, mine's a four-bedroom, four-bath. I mean, and with that magnitude and as large as it is, and the others around are just two-bedroom, two-bath, and they're going for $365,000. And I'm only doing mine for $268,000, you know, which was $249,000 before that, and then we upgraded it more and more, so... At that magnitude, I mean, I'm, you know.
Right. That feels like that scenario that you gave me feels positive in you being able to get that price. So I feel like the appraisal will be strong. Yes.
Oh, great. Great. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and text her now and let her know. Thank you.
Sure. And good luck and the best to you. And God bless you, Francine.
Oh, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Francine, for coming. And do go to starpsychics.com if you'd like a more in-depth reading from one of my talented readers. Have a great evening, dear.
Okay, I'll definitely do. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Tara, are you ready for your question for Stars Medium Matthew?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, and I'll get him on the air. Okay, Matthew, you've got Tara on the line here with her one question.
All right.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks
I'm
for taking
pretty
the call.
Good. Hey, no worries. What can I do for you?
I'm wanting to make a move. I'm unhappy in my current living situation.
okay.
With the family and all. It's just a lot of disagreements, and I'm just ready to move on. And do you see me finding a place before the end of this year, or?
It's an interesting question that you're giving me. There's
so
a lot more to this, isn't there?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, should I do this on my own, or should I go the roommate route, or?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you got on your table, a lot more than just whether or not you're going to move.
Okay.
You have a lot of decisions to make, and the biggest question I have is do you have the finances to be able to move, first of all, or are you saving them up?
I'm saving them up, and I just got a second job, so.
Okay, all right. Right now, my suggestion to you is you don't like the, as you said, family situation, which I'm guessing is you're living with your folks still, and
yes.
That means that you want to move out on your own and branch out.
Right.
There's so many things to consider when you're doing that. So I would put aside your worries about how you're handling with things with your family and not use that as the motivation.
Okay.
Because that could cause you a real bad fall that you have a hard time recovering from. I would, and this isn't psychic talk, this is life experience talking, because I did what you're thinking about doing, and oh, did I regret it. And I hated them. I couldn't stand them. I wanted to sleep on the floor in the basement so I could get away from them. You know, I slept at other friends' houses. So, you know, it was really bad. But when I did what you were thinking about doing, boy, if I had known any better. So the second job is great. Bite yourself in your hand or something, get yourself to be a little bit more patient, save it up,
okay.
Look for something that will support you locally with a place that you can afford on your own if you can do that. And if you can't, then yes, look for some place around that has roommates.
Okay.
And see if you can do something that way. And I do see you being successful with that by the end of this summer. Towards the mid to end of this summer, I do see you being successful. But motivate yourself for the right reasons and don't burn your bridges, because you never know what's going to happen.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it does. I know the motivation behind it is really there. You want to get out as fast as possible. But
right. And I was trying to go back to school in
yourself.
August, so.
What's that?
I wanted to do it all before I go back to school.
Yeah, absolutely. But make the right choice. Make the right choice. It's the healthiest for you, not that one that satisfies the emotional urge to do it fast, because that will hurt you more than help you.
Okay, so I shouldn't do it on my own. I should go the roommate route. Do you see me?
As long as you have, what you have to do is the research. Take a look at how much the rental is in the area that you want to go to, and do the research. Look on Craigslist. Look on other computer lists, and there's thousands of websites out there that can suggest the areas that you want to be in, and take a look at the prices. And then look at how much it would cost to get to work. Look at all the utilities, all the things that your family has to deal with on a monthly basis, including cell phone, you know, transportation, be it your own car, gasoline. All these things have to be considered before you jump. And if you find that your money doesn't quite cover it but barely does, that's not good enough. You need something where 50% or 70% of your income is spent and you still have 30% left for free money. That way you know you're saving. So it's wiser, most likely for your situation, to be moving in with a roommate, somebody that you can interview and trust a little bit.
Okay. Do you see me finding that roommate, I mean, within this year? And
oh, yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Because there are definitely going to be people out there who are interested in doing that. But keep in mind, too, for some reason, you seem like a really sweet person. So I would try and go with a secondary female if you can, and one that actually seems like she wants to work just like you do. One that has the responsibility
that
you do.
There is someone that I know would be dependable, and I actually work with this person.
Okay.
And they're moving.
Then go for it.
So do you see that coming through for us?
It very well. I do see some positive things in the end for this for you. Once you make the right moves and don't jump with the emotions, but you jump with the facts and the research done, you will
okay.
be very successful and very happy too.
Okay. All right. Thank
Tara,
you for
don't go away. I'm going to have Stars Maya do a quick little mini reading for you. And thank you, Matthew. You did an awesome job as usual. And because the show is really, it's really over, but we're going to continue just a little bit longer. So, Tara, let me
thank
connect
you, Matthew.
You with
you're welcome.
Isn't he a delight?
Yes, thank you. I feel
okay.
much better now.
Okay, good. Well, hold on.
Thank you.
Okay, Stars Maya, I'm going to let you do a quick little thing here with Tara. She's got a question for you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tara.
I was asking Matthew about a move this year, and he said he saw it coming up before the end of the year.
Okay.
And
is
finding...
it Tara or is it Tara?
Tara.
Tara, and do you spell it T-A-R-A?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Tara. Okay.
Okay,
so you were asking, so you want to know if you're going
to move.
To
move, I mean, will it be closer to, he said that we would find a place. Do you see it being like in the same area I am in now? Or will it be
okay,
out of state or?
I pretty much am feeling the same thing. I definitely feel there's going to be a move. I don't think it's going to be as long as, I'm not sure, I don't feel it's going to be towards the end of the year. I feel like it's going to be quite a bit sooner than that.
And I just got a second job, and I start next week. So, and I've saved up a pretty good bit, and I think this person would be dependable, and I work with them.
Okay, and so what you're planning is to make a move with a roommate, someone through work that you know. You're both going to move in together, and this is a female.
He said I should go the roommate route because my question was, should I pursue this by myself? But he said the roommate route would be better to go, and I think he felt this person was dependable, and I mean, I do too. So.
And what is this person's first name?
It's a female, and her name's Kayla.
Kayla, yes, I feel like this would be a good situation. From what my guides are telling me, I feel like you're both matched well, and it will be an easier situation and transition. And my guides are also telling me that, yes, that she is dependable and that the move can happen quicker than if you try to go on your own. And I also feel like there might be, I believe I heard him say that he felt it was going to be the end of the summer, like maybe end of July or August.
Okay.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said July, he said August, and that's when I start back school in August, so.
Okay.
I was hoping for that, you know, school and everything would fall into place. And
right, that's what I'm feeling.
I would find this place before, you know, I had to start back school.
Right, I would agree with that. I do feel like you're going to be just settling in. I think it's going to be close, but what I'm getting is a move happens prior to you actually going to school. So you may be signed up, you may be involved, but I feel like the move comes before school, and I feel like you're going to need the extra help that a roommate can offer. I feel like there's going to be some emotional support that's going to be needed that this male can offer, and I feel like financially, actually, for both of you, I see this as a transition. I don't see you two living together for the next 20 years, but I feel like it's a really good transition, and it will ease a lot of things that will, if you try to move out on your own, in the beginning, I feel like you would be okay, but I feel like later on there would be a lot of struggles if anything comes up, like a car issue or the holidays, you're going to put yourself in a really, really tight situation. That's what my guides are showing me. They're showing me you squeezed in a box. So based on everything I'm getting, I definitely agree. I feel like this is a good choice of a roommate, and I feel like for both of you, it's going to be a great experience, and it's going to be a good way to spread your wings but not be completely alone without – you know, I see you being friends, I see emotional support, and I also feel like financially it's going to be easier on both of you, and that you both are going to, each of you are going to hit some little rocky spots, and you'll be able to help each other. So it's a very balanced, reciprocal relationship is what I get. So I really think it's going to work out well, and just to validate, just to make sure that you understood me, I am seeing the move will occur before school. It might be very, very close, but I feel like you will be moved into a new place before you actually go to class.
So it will be within this year, I mean.
Yes, I do feel. I feel it will be, you know.
July or August. Do you feel like how many bedrooms? Is it going to be an apartment or like a duplex or a house? Like two bedroom or?
It feels more like I feel like you're going to have the possibility come up of a third person. And from what I'm picking up with my guides, I don't feel that's going to be the best scenario for you. But I do feel that's an option that's going to come up. What I'm getting doesn't feel like an apartment. So to me, it's either going to be some type of single family house or some kind of attached duplex type, because to me it's showing up more as a house as opposed to an apartment. I don't get, I get like you know, maybe one or two attached, but not
and
really.
And you wouldn't be picking up on where I'm living at now, would you? Because, I mean, I still do live at home, and that's my mom and dad. They wouldn't be the other two people, right?
No. This is definitely the future that I'm seeing. I'm seeing that when you and this gal start to look and that something is going to come up that's going to involve a third person, the possibility of a third person and a bigger house, but I don't think that's going to be a good choice. But I think you're going to know that anyways. Right away, both of you are going to think, oh, we don't know. That's, you know, that's depending on now a third person.
Okay.
And I don't really feel like it's going to be an apartment or condominium because I'm not getting an upstairs. I'm not getting a downstairs. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing it as an apartment building, but it very well could be like some type of a duplex. If it is, it's going to be where the attachment is next door, not above or under, if that makes sense.
Okay, then. Okay.
And really, it doesn't
matter. I was told, too, by another psychic that it would be, like, near water or in another county.
That's possible. I can't say, in all honesty, that came up for me.
Okay.
So it's possible that that's the case, but that isn't something that was shown to me, so I don't think that's significant to me. What's significant to you is, you know, having someone that's financially stable and dependable and having some emotional support. I keep feeling that you and she both are going to have just times, nothing dramatic, nothing terrible happening, but you're just going to need that little extra support of having someone there. And so I feel like your basic and your most important needs are definitely going to be met.
Okay, then. All right.
So I think it's
okay,
it's,
Tara. I think if you'd like a more in-depth reading with either one of these readers, you know, you can go to starpsychics.com. Actually, we ran over tonight, but that's okay. It's kind of good.
Okay.
We've got a lot of talent here, and thank you for coming, and you're welcome to come next
week
if you like.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now remember, it's starpsychics.com. Go take a visit and go look at it and view it. Look at the emporium and everything that
we
have to offer.
I definitely will.
Okay, honey, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Okay, here we are. Christy, are you there?
I am.
Okay, great readings. I wish we had more callers, but actually we ran over, so that's pretty good. But I like to let, you know, when I have two readers like that, I like you both to do your take on a question, and I think it's just good for promotion, and you showed up, so you get all the promoting. That's the way it is, right? But anyways, you two are going to get together, okay?
Okay.
Maya, now you've got your Skype account now, you said you got, right?
Well, I already had one, but what I do is I've never used it. So when that icon comes up in the morning, I always shut it down. So tomorrow I won't do that because obviously I must have a user ID because I've downloaded and I do have Skype. And I did email Matthew back on his topic suggestion, so I did answer him. And then maybe he can lead me through Skype if he wants to do that later on. I've never used it before. I don't even remember why I downloaded it at this point. But it's closed out now, and I don't know how to go back. But tomorrow morning I'll leave it open, and I'll figure out what my Skype name or address or whatever it is, ID
Maya,
is.
Why don't you give me your, if you're comfortable with it, why don't you give me your home telephone number, and I can call you directly. And then I can guide you through the whole process. I do a lot of computer repair for a lot of my friends, so this would be nothing for me, no problem at all. And we can just simply talk on the phone, too, because that's sometimes easy, and I'd be happy to call you.
Okay, and do you have a cell phone?
I do, but it's international. I live in Germany.
Okay, great. So, sure. Is that okay with you, Natalie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel very comfortable with that. Yes. Because I think
okay.
The two of you are going to really do a great job with these topics.
Thank you. I think so as well. Okay. Are you ready, Matthew?
I am ready. Go ahead.
479 is the area code.
Uh-huh.
236.
Yeah.
3928.
Okay, so it's 479-236-3928.
Correct.
All righty. Stars Maya. All
yes.
righty. When is the best time to call you? Because we have, I don't know, what state do you live in just in the United States? Are you, so I can know what time zone you're in.
I'm in Arkansas. I'm on Central Standard. So for me, right, 7:13 p.m.
Okay, so you're in Arkansas, home of Bill Clinton. All righty. So what
yeah.
I'll do is I will email you tomorrow on the best time where we can get a hold of each other, and we'll say it's a tentative time, so don't worry if you're not there or if I'm not there. We will connect over the next day or two, come up with some ideas, and then we'll communicate with the big boss here and see what we can do.
She's a little
okay.
boss.
She's a little boss.
I'm a little person. I got a lot of good things coming, though. Wait till you find out. Wait till I send out an email. I'm bursting over here. But anyways, thanks, you guys. I know this is going to be awesome. And whenever you want to do the recording of the topic, so, well, you know, Christy, you know what to do. You just let me know, and I'll set it up. I'll get the time for you guys, and we'll just roll with it. And thank you so much for coming tonight. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Sure. My pleasure as well. And we'll be speaking soon, Matthew. And Natalie, love you lots. And you
love you
guys.
Lots, and we'll talk soon, too.
Okay.
Have
enjoy
a good
the
evening.
Evening. Okay. We'll do.
Bye.
Bye-bye.